This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We've got a family here, not just VSIN, but on Sharp Money. And Adam Burke is squarely in the middle of that family. We love Burke. He wasn't here last week, going through a lot. We appreciate having him back. VSIN betting analysts, skating tripods on Twitter. I think the place would crumble like a house of cards if Burke went away forever, because not only is he essentially, you know, part of the mix when it comes to the college football betting guide, you've got your baseball betting guide, you got your NFL betting guide, you've got your baseball podcast. He does so much editorially at VSIN.com. So it's great to have you back. And why don't we start here? We are going to be updating, first off, awesome job with the college football betting guide. We can talk about that and the feedback you've heard, but also we're going to be updating soon our NFL betting guide. That was a big point. That was a focus for us, was getting the NFL betting guide out early this year and then kind of updating as we went. Let's talk about when we can expect an update, and welcome back, Berkey.
Yeah. Good to be back. Good to see you guys again. Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, anytime you put something out as far in advance of the season as we did with our NFL betting guide on June 29th, there will be things that change. There will be things that happen that need to be addressed. And we're kind of waiting to get through the preseason and make sure, you know, there are no significant injuries that kind of account for changes in terms of the odds, whether it's Super Bowl, win totals, make the playoff odds, stuff like that. So we're working through doing some quick updates in terms of the team pages. This is not meant to replace the original NFL betting guide from late June. This is meant to be kind of a complement to it of what we've seen in the preseason. We're going to talk to some beat writers, some team analysts, get some thoughts from them on players that maybe stood out during preseason and the training camp period and all of that. We're going to have some contest strategies for, you know, things like if you're in a pick'em contest, like the Circa Million, Westgate Super Contest, the Survivor Contest, we're going to have that. But also, we're going to take a look ahead to week one, get Steve Mackinnon's thoughts, some betting systems, some trends, and also, you guys will be hearing about this from John Goulet, Len Mead, and everyone else involved. We're going to get a pick from every single person who's on air, whether they're a full-time host, a fill-in host. We're going to get a pick from them, whether it's week one, a future, something like that, in that updated guide, which will come out August 31st, available only to VSIN Pro subscribers.
Let me save you the time on the email. I've got the Texans winning the Super Bowl.
Perfect. Awesome.
Let's go.
When people ask for a refund on their VSIN subscription, they're going to mention Amal Shaw.
I'll show you my betting ticket. I'll go bet it. I didn't say for how much.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I am kidding. I just didn't want to receive the email from you.
Well, I was hoping you were telling the truth.
No,
CJ Stroud, man.
I'm a realist. I'm going to tell you right now, though, I have two teams. I haven't decided yet, guys. Maybe you guys have an opinion on it. San Francisco and Philadelphia, to me, are far above everybody else in the NFC.
Yep. I agree with that.
Big Brock Purdy guy over there, Amal?
No, I'm a fan
big,
of the
big
fact
Trey
that
Trey Lance guy.
No, I'm a fan of the fact that they've got 6 to 7 players in the National Football League that are 1, 2, or 3 at their respective positions. Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk is a tremendous number two receiver. Christian McCaffrey, of course, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. This team is loaded.
Who knew Amal Shaw was coming with Houston Texans shtick on a Tuesday, but there it is, and we appreciate it.
Hey, I'm still awake, buddy. I beat the over.
I think I bring out the best.
It's Berkey. He's another Clevelander.
I know. The college football betting guide. Then we'll get into Anthony Richardson. We'll start talk some NFL. The college football betting guide. So much to be taken from it. The kind of helping bettors build their own power ratings, I thought it was great. What's been the feedback so far on the college football betting guide?
Yeah, I think everything's been really, really positive with the college football guide. I mean, it's a big publication. We got previews for all 133 FBS teams in there, and we got a lot of feature stuff in terms of looking at, you know, like you mentioned, how to put together your own power ratings model, how to create home field advantage. Those are two features that I wrote. Thoughts on the Heisman, where, yeah, Caleb Williams should win the award. If he stays healthy and stays upright, he should win the award. But are there other guys out there that are worth taking a look at? You know, a piece on how to interpret and analyze, you know, the VSIN betting splits that we have. There's all kinds of good stuff in that college football guide. And look, I think, you know, while we do a lot of great stuff to get you ready for the NFL season, a lot of people know the NFL, right? They know the personnel. They know they kind of have their betting strategies. They kind of know a lay of the land. College football with the transfer portal, NIL, the coaching carousel, all of that, there's so much more to try and keep up with. So I think that publication especially, really, really vital to anybody who wants to bet college football this year. And again, those team previews, they have a win total pick for every team where we talk about our confidence level in it, futures, all kinds of stuff. So it's a great, great guide to get you ready for the season. I'm very proud of the work that we put together, and it's a massive undertaking. I certainly didn't do it alone. Our editors, our guide editor, everybody involved in the process really, really helped out with putting out what I think is the best version that we've ever had.
Patrick, yeah. I got to tell you, the college football guide is unbelievable. I've been buying Athlon's, Lindy's, and several others for a number of years. And this year, the only thing I bought was Athlon's. And their guide this year that we put out here, I don't want to say we because I didn't do anything with that in terms of helping to construct it. But they've done a tremendous job, and it's better than Athlon's. The information and the reality of it is, look, when you look at the other guides that give you returning starters and statistical information, this is going to take the horse to the water, and if you want to drink it, it's up to you in terms of deciding you want to go over, under, win a conference, whatever it may be. I think there's just a lot of pertinent information that'll help you because it is hard for people that may not necessarily be in the betting space 24/7 to really be able to keep up with certain teams, and they've done a great job of breaking every one of those teams down.
Yeah, I would say that some of the magazines I grew up with went on a diet because they're skinny these days. I have no clue where all the info went. And I would say that VSiN, we gorged because there's 200 pages. I mean, there's so much information. The mitigation of home field advantage is in there. First year head coaches, which is so pertinent, is in there. The power rating, I think it's so important if you're just looking to model. The power rating from Berkey is important. I can't talk about it enough. I agree with them all. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, I'm going to bring let's bring the four of us up, and I'm going to play a little game because you mentioned it. You guys just interrupt me when I say a name that matters to you. So Heisman Trophy right now, DraftKings. Caleb Williams is 5.5 to 1 to go back to back. Let's go. Jaden Daniels is 11 to 1.
I like it.
Okay, you're up first, Dustin. Go ahead.
Oh, I think they're going to win the West. They're going to be in the SEC title game. They're absolutely loaded. He has great weapons to throw to. He has an elite defense that's going to keep them in ball games. I think that he's a guy that has a lot of continuity coming to the year. We saw what he did his first year in LSU with a short offseason, getting acclimated to things in Baton Rouge, playing for Brian Kelly. I think this team has all the pieces to compete for a national title. With that, that means he can potentially be in the mix for the Heisman. He can use his legs. He can score that way. He can use his arm to score. I just think everything, the recipe is all there for him to be one of the finalists. I don't think he's a superstar gaudy numbers guy, but I think because LSU's going to be so good, he will be in the mix at the end.
Well done. Okay.
I can't argue with it. And look, also, I mean, they don't play Georgia in the regular season, so that's a big help. And if they win that Florida State game in week one, then what does that price become? If he's the star of that game, what is that, 8 to 1, 750, something like that? You know, so that's something where I think you can grab a little bit of equity right now. I think you could still win it, even if they lose that game, if they run the table. But if he's really good in that game, that price is coming down, especially when you consider he'd be beating Jordan Travis, who's a very, very popular, pick in that Heisman market as well.
Great argument by Adam. However, I vehemently disagree. I think his odds will increase when Florida State beats them September 3rd in Orlando. Jordan Travis will be in New York City. I don't know if he's going to win it, but that would be my bet at about 14 to 1, guys. He is a legitimate big-time dual threat. Caleb Williams is probably, him and Drake May are the two best college quarterbacks, but Jordan Travis, in terms of his ability with his legs and what he can do, I'm going to die on this hill this year, Patrick, but I'm going to tell you, I love it. The first two of the 4 weeks of the season, they play LSU and Clemson. So Florida State's got an opportunity, and Travis can get to a point where he gets ahead of the field, and then everybody else is chasing him.
Love it. Love it. I was going to ask you. So Jaden Daniels, 11 to 1. Quinn Ewers, 13 to 1. No, thank you. Jordan Travis and Klubnik are tied at 14 to 1. I don't understand the Klubnik love. May's 16 to 1. I'll go Penix Jr. at 16 to 1, boys, just because I think it could potentially be, if he stays healthy, that's always a Penix Jr. Addendum. But he is surrounded by freakish skill, and that offense could be the best in college football. Just at 16 to 1, do you hate it, Amal, with Penix Jr.? I know you're not huge on the player.
No, but here's the thing. You bring up a great point. When you look at McMillan and you look at Odunze on the perimeter, these guys are the second best receiving core in college football, and it's not even that close for me. They're just behind Ohio State, but they're still way ahead of Georgia in the receiving core. Penix had a monster year last year. Look, I have a problem sometimes. I hone in or criticize people based on one performance and negatively, or I give them a lot of praise based on one performance. And the play against UCLA was very porous last year by Washington. They turned that around. He had a phenomenal game in Eugene against a huge rival in Oregon. He's got an opportunity to have a 10-2, 11-1 type of season. There's no reason you can't make the argument that Michael Penix, with the numbers he'll put up in the second year and his third with Kalen DeBoer, remember he was at IU with him, he can have a monster year, Patrick.
A better's worst friend, recency bias.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you mentioned it, because I think we fall into that trap, right? Where in all, especially with 17 games in the NFL, we react so much to what we had just seen the previous week. It's up, down. It's recency bias.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you do have a smaller sample size of data points in college football, so you do have to pay a little bit more attention to that recency bias to one game that could be bad. I will say this. I have Washington at least a 13.5-point favorite in each of their first five games. So Penix is set up to put up really good numbers early on in the year. What will be the deciding factors? What does he do head-to-head against Caleb Williams, assuming they're both healthy? What does he do against Utah? What does he do against Oregon? Because after the bye, I have them a short favorite at home against Oregon, about a 2-point favorite in that game. So those will be kind of the litmus tests for him. The one thing I'll mention about Klubnik real quick, I know we're coming up against the break, Garrett Riley, former OC at TCU. If Klubnik is a dude, he's got the OC to be a dude. So if he's going to be that guy, this will be the year where we see those signs from him.
Go ahead, Amal.
Three out of four games, they play Oregon, USC, and Utah. That's the gauntlet. That's going to be the determining factor for Michael Penix in Washington.
Berkey is back. It's great to see him. We continue Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Just some belly aching about the Buckeyes, which was nauseating during the break. Double team with Burke and Shaw. Ugh. Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro? As in become a VSIN Pro subscriber? Who wrote this copy? Get all access. Get a pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. He's laughing as he wrote it. Both the college football betting guides and the NFL guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. There's only one way to get it. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Now, remember, when you sign up, we always just talk about the guides, but you're getting the picks. Everything's included. So the splits, which I'm told people just thirst for, that's included. $19 for your first month or $199 through the Super Bowl. You can't beat it. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Would you two like to carry on the tears, the trail of tears that I heard during the break about the Buckeyes?
No, the only thing I'm going to say is I almost called you something that would test the dump button when you said that. So I got real close. I barely caught myself. And for those that actually know me personally, that's the biggest win I'll have all season.
Well, hold on, Amal, before you say anything. I was being genuine about the copy. I read copy my whole entire life. This flows. You wrote it. I think that's impressive. How are you going to swear at me, Burke?
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure how genuine you were being.
No, I love it. No, I love it. Now, to you, Shaw, I want to ask him about two teams we already discussed. But first, go ahead, bellyache. The Buckeyes should have won a national championship, blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's 4th-and-1. They go for it. They get a yard. Georgia's down by 10 points. Buckeyes can get to the national title game, beat TCU. But what we were talking about is Ryan Day. People criticize him. He's got 6 losses. I think, four seasons in Columbus so far, or 5 seasons or something ridiculous like that. 19 was his first year, and so 4 seasons. But the point is, they have played well in the against Clemson in the game where they should have won, where Fields threw the ball, ends up throwing, they end up running the wrong route there. They come back, destroy Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. They should have beaten Georgia. The offense was electric last year. They had some opportunities. We were just talking about in terms of Brian Hartline has taken over now as the offensive coordinator and calling the plays and what potential differences lie there with the Buckeyes offense.
Okay, I'm going to play a game. Let's bring up the big guy for this one. You guys can't answer until I come to you. But here's the question. All things equal, you're Michigan, you're Ohio State. Do you want Harbaugh or do you want Day coaching your program? Okay, nope, don't say anything. I'm going to start on my right and go across. I'm going to be straight up with you. If I'm Michigan and I have no bias and I can start my program right now, all things considered equal, I'll take Ryan Day. Amal Shah, you want Day or Harbaugh?
Well, are you including recruiting?
Oh, Jesus.
No. Hold on a second.
I mean, it's just constant. No. Parsing me.
I'm saying if you're including recruiting, I'm taking Day. If you're just coaching one game,
yes,
I'm taking
the
Harbaugh.
The whole package. Of course I'm including recruiting. I'm talking everything. The whole package.
Then I'll take Day. One game, I'm taking Harbaugh.
Wait, say that one more time.
One game, I'm taking Harbaugh.
Okay. But you're taking Day, big picture, college football, next 10 years,
let's say.
Okay,
yeah.
I agree with you. Burke?
Yeah, it has to be Ryan Day, just from the caliber of recruits that Ohio State brings in. And Ohio State's even talked about how like their NIL fund isn't as big as it could be.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that hurts them long term. But I think for right now, what Ryan Day does with recruiting, that blows away what Harbaugh does.
Well, maybe the NIL, you two with long pockets and short arms could help out a little bit. let's go. Dustin Sweetelson, are we going to make it 4-for-4 on Day? You're starting a program right now. Harbaugh's the name, but the three of us prefer Day. Where are you going?
Ryan Day is the more repeatable winning system on offense. He has done it with multiple quarterbacks. He's created multiple first-round picks. You can take guys and win that way. Jim Harbaugh is running a pro-style offense that the professionals no longer run anymore, which made things harder for your quarterback. I don't think it's quite as sustainable for Michigan. I believe in Ryan Day, and I believe he's going to create a Heisman hopeful this year as well.
You sound like you're campaigning. As well, period.
I didn't think how it was going to end the sentence.
I know. I know you so well. I could tell you were completely caught. You wanted to keep talking, but you decided to end it.
There's more people in the room. It's not about me. I have to tell myself. When we used to go to bar mitzvahs as a kid, my little brother used to sit me down. I was like 15, 14, and my brother was 3 years younger. You do the math. I can't while I'm speaking. It's too much work. And he'd be like, Dustin, this is someone else's day. Let them have it. That's what I'm doing with Birkin Studio. Carry on.
You're always, you know what they say about Dustin Sweetelson, always a bridesmaid. We were talking nerd schools. So let me ask you this, Burke. Right now, Northwestern at DraftKings is set at 3. If you want to go over, please explain to me on what planet this team wins 4 games this year. And then I'll give you this one. Stanford's also set at 3. Explain to me on what planet in a good Pac-12 Stanford wins 4 games. If you want to go over, you want to give me both Northwestern and Stanford. They're at 3.
I mean, I had Northwestern down for 2.98 wins before all the Pat Fitzgerald thing kind of went down, and I didn't even really adjust their power rating a whole lot. Cause I felt like, well, I'm kind of in line with the market as it is. I mean, look, you know, they go on the road at Rutgers, which doesn't help, right? They do play UTEP at home, but that's a game they may not even win in week 2. So no way I don't think that Northwestern winds up with more than 3 wins this season. Stanford, it's just, look, you know, like you said, I mean, the nerd schools, quote unquote, it's just hard to recruit. It's very, very hard to get talent there. And David Shaw was a phenomenal head coach for a while, was able to maximize what he was getting, maybe kind of riding the coattails of the aforementioned Harbaugh a little bit. But at this point, I mean, I have them down for 1.91 wins. They're favored in one game, and it's against Hawaii. So I don't really think, or I guess their favorite in 2 games, they'll wind up playing Sacramento State as well. But like, it's just, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there in Palo Alto, and I don't think this will be the year that it happens.
Amal, and what we're doing, the reason I said nerd school is we're theming out four colleges and 4 universities every day, and today we went with Northwestern, Stanford, Vandy, and Duke. But just to kind of punctuate that, Amal, if you were to take one of those two, Northwestern and Stanford, both set on 3, which one do you feel more confident going under?
Oh, it's a no-brainer. Northwestern. You know, Adam alluded to it. I just don't see how these guys. Patrick, a couple factors to take into consideration. Number one, from a betting standpoint, I will take the 3 as a potential push into consideration on some of these bets or any other number. I think it's crucial from that standpoint. But how, as you alluded to, how do they get to 4 victories? I don't even see them getting realistically 3 wins. And yes, they're going to beat the Howard Bison, but are we certain that they're going to beat UTEP? I don't know, as Adam alluded to. This team could be 1-11, a repeat of last year. And the great thing about this bet is you're going to know within the first 4 to 5 weeks where you're at, because they're going to be on a 6 or 7 or 8 game losing streak by the end of the year.
Totally.
Where's Vanderbilt playing? Vanderbilt's playing Hawaii in like a high school stadium, right?
I didn't realize they're not playing.
Yeah, their football stadium, they're redoing it.
Yeah, I saw a picture, and the end zones are still having construction done on them. They're supposed to be a game in, like, less than 2 weeks.
Well, it doesn't matter depending on what side of the field because Vandy doesn't score that often anyway.
Every game, I mean, their home games are road games. Like, I mean, I went to one. My wife's from South Carolina. We went to a South Carolina Vanderbilt game, and it was 60-40 South Carolina fans.
Hey, by the way, I'm glad you said you went to a South Carolina game. I was like, hey, you know, Vandy's in Nashville.
I know how to have fun in Nashville. Going to
that's
a Vanderbilt
great
football
town.
Game, not it.
Well, he went to a Vanderbilt game and showed up at a South Carolina game because it's not necessarily – although Vandy hasn't been – Vandy's been in the
good.
SEC since, like, the 20s. So, yeah, it's a great football – it's a great baseball school, as you mentioned.
The Georgia home game, I think it might have been last year or 2 years ago, they put up, like, 45 in the first half. You would have thought the game was a scrimmage being played at Sanford Stadium.
One of the teams we discussed was Duke. Now, this is converse, Northwestern and Stanford. How about Duke? And Elko in year one won 9 games. He brings a lot of players back. I'd be curious to hear your true number on this and just your overall thoughts on Duke this year in the ACC.
So Duke is a really tough one for me because I absolutely respect the hell out of what Mike Elko did. As you mentioned, they bring back a lot of production, a lot of talent from a team that won a lot of games last year. My season win total projection is almost 7 at 6.95. With that being said, their schedule is dramatically tougher this season. So even though I really respect the talent level of what this team did, and maybe I'm believing in my priors too much from what they did last year, their schedule is just, it's gnarly. It's very, very difficult.
Patrick, I can appreciate what Adam is saying there, but I disagree a little bit. You look at the schedule very quickly. Clemson, tough game to open, but remember, that's a home game. Lafayette, they get Northwestern, UConn. Those are 3 victories. At Notre
Dame.
Don't
badmouth UConn. John Goulet's in here now.
Let me tell you something. John Goulet loves me because I said UConn's winning the national title last year in college basketball back in November. Notre Dame comes calling. And remember, Notre Dame just comes off the game against Ohio State. So it could be a little bit of a tough spot. If you lose a hard-fought game or you lose in a blowout fashion against Ohio State, do you rebound playing a good offense in Riley Leonard and company? You got a bye week in a home game against a rival there in NC State. At Florida State, I don't believe in Louisville as much as other people do. Wake Forest is going to take a huge step back this year, in my opinion. Carolina's got question marks. Virginia's horrific with Elliott as the head coach. And then Pittsburgh, I'm telling you guys, 8-4. If they beat Pitt, this is a 9-3 team. I like this team a lot.
Beautiful. When we return, let's go NFL when we come back with Adam Burke. Anthony Richardson's in Indy. How in the hell does that team get to 7 wins? We shall discuss. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, check out the picks. Football is ready to kick off, and VSiN has everything you need to make this a successful season. You get the guides, but also when you pick up the guides for $19 for a month or $199 for the year, you get the picks. Now, the picks come to you every single day. Host and guests every single day. Just an absolute avalanche of wins, I'm telling you. Follow the host and guests. And by the way, if you want to make it easy, find out who is hot and who's not, tail fade, expert leaderboard. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Now, Anthony Richardson, Adam Burke, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. He wasn't a good college quarterback. He wasn't. He was explosive. I think he went to Rocky Top and threw for over 400 yards. Amal, you can fact check me. He ran all over the place. The dude didn't complete 54% of his passes in college. So why do I bring that up? You take a look. Indianapolis right now, DraftKings, their win total set at 6.5. Huh? Richardson just turned Adam Burke 21 in May, so he can grab a beer, and he's one of 32 to play the position on the planet. He's one of 32. He's a kid. He made so many mistakes. He's wildly inaccurate at Florida. And now here he comes to the NFL. I think this dude could end up being great. Capital G-R-E-A-T. But it's not going to happen this year. It's a rookie coach. It's a team that struggled 4 wins last year. We got to get to 7 if we're going over. Your thoughts on Richardson being named the starter, and what do you think about the season win total?
Well, I think you might as well use Richardson as the starter because it's kind of like the thought process that we're seeing around Major League Baseball right now, where instead of using young arms in the minor leagues, they're just bringing them up from Double A and just saying, well, you know what? We're going to use all the bullets while we can. So I think it makes sense for them to go ahead and use Richardson. I mean, Gardner Minshew would be a competent starter, at least for a little while, I would say. But it makes sense to just go ahead and go with Richardson right out of the gate. Yeah, I mean, the schedule's not fantastic early on in the year either. The first game against Jacksonville, on the road at Houston, a game you would probably have to get them to win if you really expect them to go over that 6.5 number. The one caveat is this roster's not that bad. Last year, things just really snowballed on them. I mean, Jeff Saturday, all of a sudden coaching and all that. I don't think this roster's that bad around Richardson, but in the NFL, man, it's a quarterback-driven league, and that's the problem here, is that Richardson is going to go through a ton of growing pains. So, yeah, it would have to be under 6.5, if anything, there.
I agree with you guys in terms of the under on this one, and I like the point you make, Adam, about this roster. Patrick, I don't think it's as bad as we project it to be. Here's the problem, though. The most important position in sports is going to be over. You have a person overseeing it who completed 54% of his passes in college. He only had 3 games out of 12 last year where he threw for more than 240 yards. I mean, to me, he's just not a guy outside of his athleticism that can lead you in a way that's going to help your offense for the long term. There's too many guys that can run on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL. I'm not buying this team. I like this team to be under 6.5 wins and finish third in this division.
Yeah, I like the alt. You can go under 5.5, Dustin Sweetelson at +180 over at DraftKings on the Colts. Don't hate that either. Again, 6.5. The over is 120 right now, so a little juice there. Dustin, final thoughts on Richardson being named today as the starter of the Colts.
You know, I'm on the other side of you guys. I just think they're going to scheme it up around him. They're going to use his legs. That's I keep saying it. It's going to raise the floor of this team immediately, and we haven't seen a player that plays like Anthony Richardson step into a situation where he's got a number one like Michael Pittman, a number two like Alec Pierce. They've got players on the defense. As long as Shaquille Leonard is healthy, that defense takes a significant step up. When he's out of the lineup, they're really not good. It's similar to when Bob Sanders was patrolling safety for the Colts back in the day. When Bob Sanders was in the game, they could stop the run. They could compete with anyone. Same goes for Shaq Leonard. I think that Shane Steichen was brought in, and I have questions about it as well, to run a similar system that he ran with Jalen Hurts. We've seen guys like Justin Fields use their legs more than their arm early in their career. I think they could be dangerous and hang in a lot of ball games this year, potentially win a few. I wouldn't bet it. I'm not betting it either way. My slight lean would actually be to the over.
The thing that concerns me, their offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, the last team that he schemed for as the offensive coordinator was Detroit. Matthew Stafford can't move. Like, he moved a little bit more when he was younger, but that's the offense that he wound up scheming. I know last year he was passing game coordinator for Jacksonville. It's not like Trevor Lawrence ever really took off and ran. So that's what I'd be concerned about is, can Jim Bob Cooter scheme for the skill set of Anthony Richardson to where he can have success? With that being said, we see a lot now at the NFL level of the things that made Jalen Hurts really successful last year, throwing passes at the line of scrimmage, putting it out in space. Are there athletes good enough on the outside to give Richardson some help? I think that's what we need a couple of weeks to really find out.
I think you guys bring some good points up, but I want to go back to Patrick's alternate line bet here at +180 under 5.5. And the reason why it's a really good bet is, first of all, you have to be a believer in this team being under 6.5. But more importantly, there will be a potential opportunity down the stretch. If you think it's going to be precarious, they've got 5 wins, you could hedge off because you're getting a plus money price. You can come back the other way on another team, Patrick. It gives you some leverage there because you have such a big plus money price.
Yep, 100%. And Joe Lombardi was a disaster as the OC with the Lions. That's who Jim Bob Cooter replaced that season. Started off well. As you mentioned, he didn't have a big tool bag. And he kind of got, I mean, eventually he became Jim Bob Cooter. Anyway.
If you think under 5.5 is a good bet, right? Yeah. Is 14-1 for the most losses or the fewest wins a good bet?
Absolutely. I don't think they're going to wind up as the team with the most losses, but I think they're in the conversation. Tampa, Arizona, Houston, the Colts, and there was one other team we talked about. I'm drawing a blank on right now, but I think all those teams are in the conversation because I'll tell you one thing. We can criticize Arizona all we want, but if Kyler Murray plays and he's not worthy of the contract he's gotten, but I still think he can make a difference in certain games, whereas the other teams we've talked about, Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield, no. C.J. Stroud, not yet. Anthony Richardson, not yet.
Burke, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you think you can handle it?
Maybe. Depends on the question.
Who's going to win the North? And I'm not talking about your North. I'm talking about the NFC. I think the Lions are short right now in division. So let's go through this. The Lions are like plus 160. There's the numbers. These are DraftKings numbers. The Lions are plus 140. My goodness. The Vikings plus 275. That's Dustin's team. He feels like they're being disrespected. And then you've got your third betting favorites, the Packers and the Bears, sitting 4-1. We were talking to Anthony Heron earlier. That's why I thought about this. I want your take. What do you like in the North?
I don't think plus 140 is good enough on Detroit. I think there's a good chance that they win the division. I just think from a betting standpoint, that wouldn't be enough for me. I know everyone wants to downgrade Minnesota. I know they won so many close games and, you know, they had the negative point differential and all that kind of thing, but maybe Kevin O'Connell is just a good head coach. So at this point in time, I would say that from a betting standpoint, the value would be on Minnesota. Maybe Jordan Love's a dude. I don't know. The one team I don't see the love for the Bears. I don't see the hype that they're getting here going into the season. But I think from a line equity standpoint, I would say Minnesota probably offers the best betting value.
Patrick, if you want to bet Detroit, here's how you bet it. You don't take it, as Adam said, at the plus 140. They open the season on Thursday night against the Chiefs. They're probably going to lose that football game. And the Vikings open with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The numbers are going to shift after week one. If you like the Lions, wait until week one passes. You'll probably get plus 170, 175. Minnesota's odds will shrink. So if you're not going to play Minnesota, but you want to bet Detroit, I think the prudent move is to wait until after that Thursday night game.
Fair. Dalvin Cook today signed a one-year deal with the Jets. This has got a house of cards feel to it, Adam. Because Breece Hall's coming off the injury. Dalvin Cook, super productive over the last 4 years, coming off the injury as well. You've got an aging quarterback, that's no surprise. And an offensive line that's mid, suspect. It all could go. Amal loves this team. Season win total right now, DraftKings on the Jets, 9.5. But it could fall apart. Injuries are a concern here.
Yeah, for sure. Look, it's a good insurance policy, right? I mean, as you said, he's a guy that's been very productive. They've still dedicated a lot to Breece Hall. So I would fully expect him to be the guy that, you know, kind of gets the bulk of the work as the season goes along. But again, I mean, he's coming off of a major, major injury, and Cook is a guy that's been, you know, very productive throughout his time in the league. And you also wonder, with a lot of the other moves that were made throughout the offseason, bringing in of Hackett, you know, signing Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, stuff like that, did Aaron Rodgers kind of look at somebody and say, hey, I'm not real sure about this position, why don't you go get that guy? So it does seem like he's had a lot of input in personnel choices. So maybe that's something where, you know, a guy on the field with plenty of experience who knows his way around an offense thought they needed a little bit more help.
Adam, do you have Kansas City and Cincinnati? It doesn't matter the order, one or two in the AFC. And yes. Then who do you have third and fourth?
Third would be Buffalo.
See, guys, I think Buffalo, with the loss of Edmonds going to Chicago and DeMar Hamlin coming off the injury, those were two of their three leading tacklers. I think this Buffalo team takes a step back. I'm not buying them as much, and I don't like the lack of consistent running game with them.
So who, Miami is three for you?
I'm going Jets, man. I love this Jets team. I think we forget how elite their defense was, and it's hard to play defense when Zach Wilson decides every three plays we want to punt.
Just because the head coach has your same last name as you. I still don't know how to say his last name. Sala.
Yep.
When we return, there's a team that everybody's jocking. And I think the head coach and quarterback are going to end up beefing. That's a weird tease. We're going to come back and discuss this team next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSIN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide, Burke was talking about this earlier. Pay attention, because it's due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. We get picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSIN betting splits, which is important, and football contest strategies. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber for as low as $19. Here's the deal. If you want to go there and see if you like it, It's $19. I assure you, you will, and you'll end up paying for more, but go ahead and give it a try. VSiN.com/subscribe. If you know you're going to like it and you just want some picks and the guides and the splits, it's $199, but that's through the Super Bowl. It's a no-brainer. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Adam Burke, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money on a Tuesday. Disparate personalities is how I would explain Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. I think this is going to end ugly. Right now, you take a look. Denver is sitting 8.5. So if you think they're obviously more inclined to win 9, you're going over. If you think 8, you're going under. That's pretty simple there. But my strategy on the under here is, like, did you see Russell Wilson in the in the first preseason game? First off, he's out there 20 snaps. Payton doesn't care. He'll run him into the ground. And he just looks, we talked about this yesterday, Amal. I don't know, he still looks chunky to me. He looks unsure. He looks indecisive. The arm strength isn't there. And I think as the season progresses, Peyton's just wired weirdly. The personality differences, I think, ends up being an issue here. Where are you at on the Broncos?
Completely agree with your assessment of how things will play out here. And I think at the end of the day, you can't fake confidence. And with Russell Wilson at this point in time, guys, you go back to last year. You can sit there and blame the offensive line play, the inconsistent wide receiver play. Jerry Jeudy hasn't been as good as we thought maybe coming out of Alabama. But to me, Russell Wilson, and I'm a huge Wilson fan, is the problem. I think this guy's career is falling off faster than many would have anticipated. I just don't see a resurrection for him. I think he's going to struggle, and it's going to be interesting by the time we get to that game in Week 5 against the Jets. He's going to end up salvaging when you look at Hackett and what he did in Denver, because this team, how the hell they're getting to 9 wins is mind-boggling. Aren't the Jets at 9.5 wins? So we're saying that the Denver Broncos are one game worse than the New York Jets. In what world?
There was a lot of love in the market for the Broncos heading into last year. Didn't quite pan out, Berkey. Where are you this year? 8.5.
I'm going to take the other side here. I like this Denver team. I mean, look, they were a top 10 defense last year by EPA per play. That should be another really, really good group once again. Also, according to the Football Outsiders metric for adjusted games lost, they had the second most on offense and the fifth most on defense. So this was a team ravaged by injuries last year. And I mean, I'm going to give Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt with Russell Wilson. Does Wilson have to be great for this team to win 9 games? I don't think so. We see average quarterbacks with great rosters win 9 games all the time. So unless things come to a head off the field, which you alluded to, Patrick, I think this team just has a lot of talent, and I think that a guy like Sean Payton can get the most out of it. So I like the over 8.5. I mean, it's a play that I liked a lot a couple of months ago when we were doing the NFL guide and all that kind of thing. In hearing more perspectives and more opinions, it is something where I've kind of had a little bit of doubt creep into my mind. But yeah, a guy like Payton, I don't think Russ is completely cooked. And again, if this team stays healthier, then they should be significantly better.
Did you enjoy Kevin James as Sean Payton? I'm sure you saw the movie.
I've never actually seen the movie.
Well, next Tuesday, you'll be joining us. Your homework is watch that movie. Big guy, 8.5.
It's really annoying because the Super Bowl numbers, 40, 50 to 1 at some books for Denver. It's a number I should want to bet. I think they're still going to stink. I think he's toast. I think Sean Payton has a couple years of wiggle room where nothing's his fault. So he's going to squeeze whatever he can left out of Russ. But I just don't think Russ is that dude anymore and maybe never really was as good as we thought he was. The division's tough. Like, that's what we forget. Like, that's 2 losses to KC right there.
Well, that's what I don't understand, guys. The Chargers are a good football team.
They're not better than the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree with Dustin here, Patrick.
Potentially, that's 4 losses right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean Payton feels like the type of dude that comes up and hits you really hard in the arm to say hello.
Yeah. He's like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just slugs you and just like, what's up, partner? And then calls everybody partner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Doesn't understand why you're annoyed. He's like, don't rub it. Don't rub it.
Right. Yeah, just never just says what's up. He just always just socking you. All right. I guess if the quarterback conversation continues, you have a problem with Bryce Young. No problem there starting. He's going to be behind a bad offensive line, Burke. And then also, what would you do with Stroud? Obviously, Davis Mills has the experience. Would you just go ahead and start Stroud if you're the Texans?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, you know, the clock's running on that rookie contract, so you might as well just go ahead and use him. And kind of see what happens and try to build around him and get some of those, you know, growing pains out of the way. And I mean, he's got, you know, a little bit of decent talent at wide receiver here, especially if they're able to stay healthy. So I think you got to just go ahead and, you know, throw him in the deep end of the pool and see what happens.
Also, Peyton, a big gum guy, Amal. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, that dude wears out some gum.
Juicy
like,
fruit.
I've never chewed gum.
Juicy fruit.
What's that?
He only chews juicy fruit.
You know this? You're not making this up?
It's a fact. Juicy fruit's his gum.
Well, he's got to go through a ton of it then, because the flavor's gone in 5 seconds after you start chewing juicy fruit.
Low key. New piece between every play? Like, how is he chewing on?
Guys, we all know what the best gum of our lifetime was, and I bought it a few weeks ago.
Grape, Big League Chew.
Grape Big League Chew. The best.
I didn't even know they still
remember
made that.
Like the tin, like you pretended you were chewing and it was the tape gum that was lit. No,
oh, the bubble
no?
tape.
Nobody?
Yeah, bubble tape.
No,
yeah, yeah, 10 feet. It was 10 feet of gum.
Bubble tape.
Sean, best. I think Sean Payton is a very good offensive coach, but Sean Payton gets treated like he's Bill Walsh or somebody in the National Football League. I mean, the guy won one Super Bowl. I'm not taking that away from him. But man, Sean Payton comes into Denver talking about like, yo, I'm Walsh, I'm Belichick, I'm Parcells. Yo, calm down, buddy.
He also feels like the type of dude that makes your ear disappear. You know how you do the thing where you just like, and you have it in your thumb. Anyway, Payton just seems like a weird dude to me. Let's go to the top 10 and get Berkey's take on this one. This is last week. It was a weird one, and then this week's a weird one. What was your list last week? Was it smells?
I think smells was 2 weeks ago. I think it was chain restaurant. It was casual sit-down chain restaurants.
Yeah. That was a good one. This one's interesting. Dustin's top 10 fears. So we only got through 10 yesterday, and it was falling, walking upstairs with my mouth open. So he's afraid of bashing all his teeth in. We'll skip that one to get to 9 because I'll be curious to hear the take on this one because I think most of us have at least thought of it. Dustin's top 10 fears, number 9, big guy.
Oh, I'm so terrified of number 9 that I want to be cremated because of it. Like, if I'm not dead, ensure I'm dead. And number 9 of my top 10 fears is being buried alive.
It's a terrible thought. Okay, let's just put that out there. These lists are generally awkward, but this one, number 9, Berkey, I don't know if that's a fear of yours, but being buried alive, it's a bad beat.
I mean, I don't know how it's only number 9.
That's what
this,
I said.
This has
got to
be like
this
top 2, top 3.
Top 2? I thought this is number 1.
Because I decided I'm going to avoid it and be cremated.
I know he's got to give the other ones real quick, but I just watched Casino again recently, and the part where they bury Joe Pesci's character, I'm like, I was sitting there thinking, man, can you imagine getting buried alive? That is, to me, this has got to be number 1.
Slowly suffocating is awful, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burke's take that being buried alive is low on this list is absolutely the take of the day. Yep. He's right because, I mean, it's just the worst ever. Number 8.
It's not all of them, but I really hate spiders, specifically tarantulas, because they're hairy and they have like a million eyes. And like here in the desert, you could just go to put your shoe on and there could be a tarantula in it. Nope, I'm out. They shouldn't exist. And if you go to Australia, they have tarantulas the size of like Ford F-150s.
Arachnophobia. Got nothing on me. I love spiders. No issues. The two of you?
If I catch a spider in the house, I put it back outside alive. I don't even kill it.
Why? It should be dead.
Nah, there's no need.
Good spider is a dead spider.
Nah, I'm fine.
Berkey?
I mean, look, I don't like spiders either, but I still don't know how it's about being buried alive.
I don't either. It's not even close.
Because I can run into them more.
Obviously, you're not going to be on Fear Factor.
I'm taking care of being buried alive by being cremated.
But how many spiders are going to kill you?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they kill, they're gross and disgusting and they freak me out. They have 8 legs. 8 legs.
Bro, you're 350 pounds. What do you think a spider thinks when he sees you?
Take me, apparently, by the amount of times I've gotten bitten.
Do you think Dustin stays away from 8-leg parlays just because of how much he hates spiders?
No, I definitely do a lot of 8-leg parlays.
Thoughts on octopus? On octopi? Number 7, get ready to be trolled by Dustin. Go ahead.
No, because fear itself can be a spiral. It's like quicksand. Like, you're scared of this, and then you think about it more, and now you're scared of being scared, and now you're scared of being scared of being scared.
So you're afraid of compound interest.
Going and going and going. Yeah. I'm scared of fear itself.
It's inception of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird way to end the show. Per usual. Dustin Sweetelson, thank you. Adam Burke, it's great to have you back. We're thinking about you. Thank you. Amal Shaw, great job. Thank you. Sharp Money, we'll see you tomorrow.
I have an innie.